I want, if the Lord will help me, to preach a sermonette. And I know sermonettes are for people who smoke cigarettes. And I'm not saying you smoke cigarettes, but I am asking the Lord to allow what I say to be a comfort to you. When you look at the segment that has been assigned to me, His Prolific Power, first quarter, what the focus is on the miracles and how He was a miracle-working God. Many times He worked miracles, and He worked miracles to identify Himself, but also to solve problems. Tonight, this evening, I want to look at another of His miracles. It's a famous miracle also, and it comes from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse number 35. Mark is the book, chapter 4, verse 35. If you don't mind, just for the reading of His word, would you stand just for a moment, please, giving honor to the word of God. The Bible reads, "That day, when evening had come, He said to His disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him.'" I want you to imagine for a moment you being one of the 12 disciples and being on the boat with Him. And after He calmed the raging seas, I want you to hear yourself say, "Thank God the storm is over. Thank God the storm is over." Be seated, would you? Certainly, God is a good God. He has parted the sea and allowed us to cross over from 2018 to 2019. And it is the month of January, and I'm still feeling His blessing from bringing me out of 2018 into 2019. Anybody here happy that He parted the sea and let you cross over into 2019? Yeah, He's a good God. I don't know about you, but let me have a moment to do a testimony. 2018 was a storm, turbulent year for me. Did anybody else have a rough time in 2018? It was one storm after another for me. And I'm on this side right now, and as I'm on this side, I'm saying, thank God the storm is over. You say, "Preacher, now what do you mean?" Well, let me give you some examples. From the perspective of a minister, it was turbulent for me. I had to go to one funeral after the other. Someone has said that after a minister is at a church for a long time, you quit burying members and you start burying friends. And so I lost so many faithful members at Garden Oaks, and it was one tear-jerking moment after the other. It was one storm after the other. It's like, Lord, would you please just stop the storm? And then as a husband and a provider, it was a storm for me. Had a beautiful house, beautiful, beautiful house. And I told my wife, baby, listen, trust me, we're gonna move to a better place. You got a strong man, and God's a good God, and you allow me, we'll move to another place. And so we entered a contractual agreement with the builder, and long story short, we sold our house because we thought the building of the new house would be right around the corner. And so we sold a big, beautiful house and moved into a tiny apartment. Y'all, it had been a long time since my wife and I had the same closet together, same restroom facilities together. I thought I was going to go crazy. Yeah, it was a tough year from the perspective as a businessman. I tell you, Brother Gibbs and I are the same age, and when you get our age, you start saying, well, this is the fourth quarter. What are you going to do for God, and what are you going to do best? And I started saying to myself, God has blessed me with a lot of opportunities as a businessman. Now, preacher, businessman, when is it time to hold them, and when is it time to fold them? And I start telling myself, now, if you got rid of that stuff, perhaps you'd be a better preacher for the Lord. But you know how it is. After you get addicted to something, that's the goose that laid the golden egg. And I'm saying, now, you going to let the goose that laid the golden egg go? And I had to remind myself, well, it wasn't McDonald's, the goose. It was Jehovah God. And so it was, for me, one storm after the other. As I stand here today, recognize I am a native Houstonian, 50 miles from Galveston. And so I'm accustomed to storms. In fact, the very first storm that I remember is a storm called Hurricane Carla. Hurricane Carla occurred in 1961. It was a Category 5. It was winds at 175 miles an hour. Fatalities. I remember my dad packing us up and taking us to spend the rain season, the storm season at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, trying to get away from the rain and the storm. Then in 2001, there was Tropical Storm Allison. It was a Category 3 storm. Winds over 59 miles an hour, fatalities 55, cost $9 billion. Then in 2005, it was Hurricane Rita. Y'all heard about Hurricane Rita, didn't you? Category 5 storm, cost $12 billion, fatalities, 120 fatalities. Then in 2008, it was Hurricane Ike, a Category 4 storm, winds at 143 miles an hour, $37 billion, 195 deaths. And then just a moment ago, seems like just a moment ago, it was Hurricane Harvey. Y'all do know Hurricane Harvey came to Houston, don't you? Yeah, Hurricane Harvey did a number on us. It was a Category 4. Winds over 130 miles an hour, $160 billion, fatalities 51. I'm telling you that there are storms in this life. Simply because you live in Dallas doesn't mean that you don't have storms. Somebody ought to help me right there. You see, your storms might not be the rain and the wind, but we all have storms in our lives. Even good people in the Bible had storms in their lives. Storms happen to the good and the bad. The Bible says God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Look for a moment in the Bible with me. Old man Job had a storm in his life. Noah had a storm in his life. Jonah had a storm in his life. Jesus and the disciples had a storm in their life. Paul had a storm. In fact, storms come to everybody. Storms come to everybody. Here are some facts, four facts that you ought to write down about storms. Four facts. Fact number one, storms are never a surprise to God. You going through a little something in your life right now? You got something that's a category 5 going on in your life? What you need to hear the preacher say is storms are never a surprise to God Almighty. God doesn't need the weatherman to inform him that storms are coming. God doesn't need the weatherman to tell him where it's raining at. God doesn't need the weatherman to tell him it's enough rain for now. In Houston, our meteorologist is a gentleman by the name of Tim Heller. Tim uses the weather Doppler. He uses radar. He uses satellites. He uses storm tracking system. But I'm telling you, God doesn't need any of that stuff. I'm telling you, God doesn't need somebody to tell him it's rain coming to this part of the country. It's rain coming to that child of God. He made the sun and moon. He made the waters. He made the ocean. He's God himself. I love the passage in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The Bible said, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters he called sea. And God said that it was, help me, church. Isaiah starts to brag more on God. Shows us a glimpse of God that many of us have not seen. Listen to what Isaiah says about God in Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? When you hear that passage, you need to see the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean. And then you need to see God with his hands open and in the hollow of his hand. All those oceans are right there. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty, mighty powerful God. Somebody ought to say, our God is a big God. I want to shout. I don't care how big the storm is in your life. Our God is bigger than that storm. I'm not going to pretend that you don't have storms. I'm not going to pretend that I don't have storms. I'm going to acknowledge that we all have storms. But what I'm going to remind you is that our God is bigger than any storm there is. He made the clouds. He made the oceans. He made the sea. Listen to what God says to Job about the storm in his life and who he is. Job 38, verses 1, the Bible says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, listen to the questions. Listen. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed the limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this is far, you may come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. I want you to remember the theme, his prolific power. God said to Job in the middle of his storm, now Job, brace yourself. You wanted an audience with me. You questioned whether I knew it was a storm in your life. And so since you questioned me, I've got a question for you. Where were you? I want to remind you. whatever's going in your life, going on in your life, God is bigger than that. And what we, you and I, need to do is we need to quit trying to make God our personal genie that we can rub on a lamp, give him three wishes and say, God, now you do it. No. God is God all by himself. And between you and I, he really doesn't need us to help him. We won't say, God, now you fix this, and you fix it right here, and this is how I want you to fix this. This is when I want you to fix it. I believe that if God would speak sometime, he would say, shut up. I'm God. I made you. I can control all the elements. Let me be God. Listen to what Isaiah penned that God said. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve in the purpose for which God says, I'm God. Every once in a while, when we're shaken, when we're stressed out, when we worried ourselves to death, wouldn't it be something if God would show up and say, baby, now, what is it you're doing? Why are you all stressed out? Just like he told those disciples after he came to see, why is it? Where is your faith? I'm telling you, we serve a mighty good God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So point number one was storms are never a surprise to God. Listen to point number two. Point number two is, in every storm, God promises he will be with his children. Somebody shout, that's me. Somebody shout again, that's me. Listen. Somebody says, now, preacher, where you get that from? God said that in every storm, he's going to be with his children. Well, here it is, Isaiah 43, verse 2. You ought to write that one down. That might be a good one for you. When you pass through the, come on, y'all. When you pass through the what? We're talking about storms, aren't we? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God has promised his children, I'm going to be with you. Look at the person next to you. Kind of touch them softly and just tell them, you know what? God's with you. Just tell him, God's with you. Look at him, God's with you. Yeah, he never promised that he would not that we would not have some rain in our lives. But he did promise that when you pass through the waters, look around, I'll be there with you. He's a good God. He's a good God when the sun is shining. He's a good God when it's raining. I love the passage. Look at that passage that we launched from just a moment ago. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, don't miss this. He said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Don't you know he knew what was ahead? Don't you know he knew it was a storm out there? And so he said to his disciples, I'm going with you. I'm not going to send you out in this storm by yourself. I'm not going to let you handle the storm by yourself. I am going with you. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the Bible says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Oh, yes. God has promised his children, in every storm, I'm going to be with you. Thirdly, he promised in every storm that he would always be in control. Always in control. I need you to remind yourself that as we go through our storms, God's got it. At the second service, I stood and I shared with the audience that I was here and my wife was in Houston. And on Tuesday, she had a complete knee replacement. And between services this morning, I was calling. I just wanted to hear a voice. I wanted to know she was doing fine. And I called and her phone rung and rung. Never answered. And I kept calling around. And finally, I got to my daughter. And my daughter said, Daddy, we all right? And I said, baby, where are y'all? She said, Daddy, we all right? And I could tell she was trying to throw me off. And I said, baby, and so for a moment, my heart dropped. My heart went pitter-patter. But then I remembered that God's got it. And my wife, when she called me back, she said, now you let God handle this, and you get on up there and do what you're supposed to do. And then between this service and that service, she texts me back and she said, I'm feeling better. What does that say? You know, the God says, seek first the kingdom. Didn't he say that? Talk back to me. Didn't he say that? He said, now you be about my business. And if you're about my business, then I'll be about your business. Oh, I love the fact. In every storm, God is always in control. Psalms 107, verse 29, the Bible says, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Genesis 9, verse 12, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations. I have set my rainbow in the cloud. And it will be a sign for the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again. What are you saying, God? I got control over the storms in your life. In fact, God knows exactly how much we can bear. God is in control. He was asleep on the stern, and then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And he told waves, quiet. Wonder, did he speak loudly or did he speak quietly? Did he just say, quiet? Did he say, quiet? He just spoke. The winds died down. The waves died down. Because he has ultimate control over everything in our lives. Then lastly, here's a fourth point from storm, a fact from a storm. It's rained already in your life. It's rained already in my life, but it's going to rain again. Here's the fact. You're going to have another storm in your life. Someone has said either you just came out of a storm, you in a storm right now, or you headed to a storm. And I have spoken with the ultimate weatherman, the real weatherman, and the forecast for your life is storm, clouds, and thunderstorms. Somebody today needs to storm-proof your life. And buying a generator will not stop the storms in your life. Buying flood insurance will not stop the storms in your life. Moving to an area that doesn't have hurricanes and winds will not stop the storms in your life. You want to stop the storms in your life? Then listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, I say everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and its fall was great as a crash. Great with a crash, or with a great crash. Somebody hear me today say, you can build your house on a solid rock. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that song. Y'all remember the song we would sing? We sung it in children's church. So build your house upon the rock. Storms came down and the winds blew. Beautiful song the kids would sing that will remind us to build our house on the solid foundation. He is the rock of ages. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the bright and morning star. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Build your house. Build your life. Stormproof your life. Build your life on Jesus Christ. God bless you. Would you stand? It's a moment when we stop and we prepare ourselves to step into another week. We reach down, we grab our purses, we grab our Bibles, and we say to ourselves, I'm headed to another week. I want to encourage you, don't step out into this week without having Jesus on your side. I really don't know what the forecast is for your life, but I really do believe that whether it's sunshiny or whether it's cloudy, we need Jesus. And I just believe that if you have Jesus with you, everything will be all right. Greenville Avenue, keep your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, it rained in the disciples' lives. They were headed somewhere, and storms came down. You headed somewhere. Somebody says that we ought to all turn on our lights. We're headed for the graveyard. And so between now and the graveyard, between now and eternity, we need to keep our hand in the hand of the master that stilled the storm. Trust him. He's a good guy. Maybe today, somebody just needs prayer in your life. Going through a storm. Going through something and you're saying to yourself, you know, thank you for reminding me to keep my faith in Jesus. Thank you for reminding me that storms do come. Thank you for reminding me another storm is headed my way. And I want to prepare myself. And so this evening, if you are in a position where you need to rededicate your life, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. It's easy to walk down front and say, you know, I made a mistake. I want to get it right. Maybe the day you look at your life and you say, but, you know, I've sinned. I've sinned. Maybe you look at your life today and maybe you say, you know, I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. I'm not a member of the family of God, and I want to get it right. Whatever your desire is today, why don't you get it right? We're going to sing a song, and I encourage you during the song of invitation to walk down front. A number of godly men that are standing before you, they will take your confession and go to God in your behalf. Let's sing the song.
All my trials, all my cares, I can tell them to my Lord. Through all of my time.